Due to a problem with our recording medium today, Pastor Dan's message, The Life of Christ, His Miracles, is not presented in its entirety. Only one of the three miracles Pastor Dan spoke about was successfully recorded. We apologize for any inconvenience.
We're looking at three specific miracles of Christ today as we look at His life and His miracles. And so I wanted to take each one of them individually and look at them in a specific way. And so we're first going to look at this miracle in Matthew chapter 14. It's a valuable passage to read, starting in verse 22. This comes right on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000. So if you have spent any time at all looking at the miracles of Christ, you undoubtedly know about the feeding of the 5,000. Right after that, Jesus sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and he stayed behind and sat on the hillside and watched them. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is in the evening after he had already fed 5,000 people and preached to them during the course of the day. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, which is about 2 o'clock in the morning, don't want you to miss that. They left in somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and then they were rowing until between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. As Jesus sent his disciples away after the feeding of the 5,000, he wanted to put his disciples to a test. Now, we're going to talk about the feeding of the 5,000 in a few minutes, but we need to remember the fact that the disciples had just seen a miracle. They took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and they themselves spread out that meal between 5,000 men, probably close to 15,000 to 18,000 people. And Jesus wanted to put his disciples to the test, so he sent them across the lake, and he watched. And he watched all night. These guys went out on the lake, and all of a sudden a storm came up. Now, in the Sea of Galilee, you need to understand the geography. The Sea of Galilee is built like a big bowl. And it's open at the bottom, at the south end, and as winds come in, they will whip around this bowl, and even though it's only 11 by 6 miles, it gets huge waves going at times because the winds will just take over and just consume a small vessel. And this is what happened this night. Just out of the blue, the winds come in, they start whipping up the waves, and the waves are going crazy, and they're in this small fishing boat, and they're trying to paddle themselves to shore. And literally, they paddled for at least 6 hours. I mean, their muscles must have ached. They had to be soaking wet, they had to be cold, they had to be tired, they had to be just about ready to give up. And then one of them looks out over the water, and they see somebody walking toward them. Now, in the heat of physical exhilaration and exercise, you can tend to hallucinate. And I'm sure that those men in the boat that day were thinking, we're seeing something. We're about to finish off here because we're starting to see things. Because there was a man walking on the water. But you know, At the end of the whole story, they weren't even marveling at the fact that he walked on the water. Did you notice that? Peter jumps out of the boat, starts walking to Jesus, looks around him, sees the waves, starts to sink, and immediately Jesus, who is some distance away, is standing right there, lifts them out, then takes them to the boat, and what do they marvel over? The fact that when he gets in the boat, the seas stop churning. They marvel not at the fact that he could walk on water. It seems natural that somebody who could control the wind and the waves should be able to walk on water, shouldn't he? It's a natural thing. It's only unnatural to us because we don't control the wind and the waves. But this morning, the first lesson we need to learn is that God is in control. He's in control of the storms of our life. He's in control of the difficulties of our life. And there's a faith lesson in all of this, and we need to understand that faith lesson. Our faith lesson today, as we look at the story of Peter walking on the water, is this. Our success through the storms of our life requires us keeping our eyes on Jesus. When we look at our circumstances, we will get overwhelmed. I want you to hear this. When we look at the circumstances around us, we will get overwhelmed. When we look at Jesus, we will have peace. It is only by keeping our eyes on the one who is in control that we can have peace. I was 21 years old. A friend of mine and I had some young ladies that we liked in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I lived in Des Moines, about 2.5 hours away. And we used to work all day, then drive over there on Friday night after working all day and spend late evening going out to dinner with them and doing something in the way of a date with them. And then we would turn around and start driving back from Cedar Rapids at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And sometimes we would get going and it would be the middle of winter and we would be tired and you'd have the heat on and you wouldn't realize you'd start to get really tired. So my buddy would sleep and then I would go ahead and drive and then we would trade off if we started to get tired. And in just a couple, I hate driving, so just in a short time I can be ready to sleep. But I didn't want to wake Denny up, so I pulled off on this truck stop and the truck stop was already full. So I pulled onto the on-ramp of the truck stop. And when I pulled onto the on-ramp, I pulled over onto the shoulder so that it looked like I was getting onto the freeway or onto the interstate. And I pulled onto the shoulder, and it was cold out, so I kept the car running, and I laid back my seat and just kind of went to sleep for a little while. During the time that I was sleeping, about 15, 20 minutes, half hour, the truck stop continued to fill up, so there were cars lining both sides of this on-ramp. And there was a lane right down the middle where you could drive, but there were cars in front of me and behind me and to the side of me. My buddy was asleep this whole time. He didn't think anything of it because he kept hearing the car hum, you know, the car was running. He woke up and he looked around him and he saw all these cars. He heard our car running. He started hitting me. He said, "Dan, wake up! We're going to crash!" I said, "You idiot, we're not moving." And he looked at me, and he saw that I had my seat laid back, and he looked at the one who was in control, and all of a sudden he went, "Oh, okay," and went back to sleep. Isn't that the way we do it with God? We look around, we see all the cars, we're all worried, and we go, "Lord, we're going to crash." And he says, "Look, I have it under control." When we look at the circumstances of our life, we will be overwhelmed. When we look at the circumstances of our life, we will be overwhelmed. When we look at Jesus, we will have peace. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.